Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
But that means for those that were here Wednesday night, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 1. Of course, it's December. It's the Christmas season, right? So we're going to go to the birth of our Savior, right? But before he was born, there was prophecy, and that's why the Old Testament is important. I mean, there's other reasons the Old Testament is important, but the Old Testament is important because there is prophecy about a coming Messiah, right? And so now we see some things happening, what God is doing and wants to do, and someone has been chosen, all right? So in chapter 1, verse 18 is where we're going to start. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. And he's going to prove that, by the way. And did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. This is super important, obviously, because it's the kind of the moment that we realize that Jesus, this baby, is going to be the Messiah, because it's where the prophecy began to be fulfilled. He ended up fulfilling many prophecies to come in his life, but where it all started was with the parents, which there's a message in that alone, right? You want to talk about generational curses, but there are also generational blessings and things that we decide as parents that will come and affect and set up our children for life. The importance of a parent. But that's a side note. That's not the message this morning. There's so much you can pull from this. And when we read this, we think of the Christmas story, right? We think about maybe not the Christmas story, but the biblical Christmas story. And the importance of this in proving that Jesus is the Messiah, which is also why Joseph didn't have relations with her the entire time while she was pregnant, even though they were married, because that would have meant she was no longer a virgin when she gave birth, even if the baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So he's a real bro for that. I'm just saying. That's why we have honeymoons right after weddings. I'm just saying, you know. Anyway, wait a second. I should have seen how many kids were in the room first. My bad. Okay. That's a fair note. You can send those emails. But as we continue to look at this, the coming Messiah, Jesus, was all part of God's plan, right? This is a prophecy that has been set up for years and 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 years. And so this is part of God's plan. And now there's two people involved in this plan. Mary, well, I don't know how much of a choice she had, but, you know, that's beside the point, I guess, at this point of the story. But then Joseph has a choice. He's faced with a choice. And this is where part of our message, the message this morning, comes into play. Because by a world standard, when he looks at this and he doesn't know what's going on, the girl he's about to marry is pregnant. You know what that looks like? That looks a little messed up. that looks a little, so he has every right to say, you know what, I don't think we're going to get engaged. All right, I don't think we're going to do this, or I don't think we're going to get married. And he's considering this because his perception of the situation is that she's got another Joseph somewhere. So that doesn't seem like something he wants to get involved in. Understandably so. I don't blame him. The world wouldn't blame him. You wouldn't blame him. Well, because you know the outcome, so you would. But if you didn't know what came next, you'd be like, oh, yeah, don't marry her. What? But then something happens. As he's considering this, the Lord comes in. An angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream, and it fills him in. This whole moment there is very important to the message this morning. And it comes with a hard-hitting truth that some of you are going to be like, yeah, amen. And then some of you are going to act like my two-year-old when I tell her she can't have something. Because what this story and what I want to pull from this story, even though, like I said, there's a bunch of things you could pull from it, is that perception is not reality. Your perception is not truth. Because, see, Joseph perceived the situation as one thing and was going to make a decision based upon that. But as we know, when the angel of the Lord comes, the truth was what God's plan was. That was the truth, was that the coming Messiah was in her. That was the truth. His perception was not the truth. So you need to accept that. We do. As Christians, as followers of Christ, we have to accept that. That what I perceive happening and then assume and then I'm going to act on is not always truth. That's why we turn to God for the truth. That's why God showed up and presented him with the truth. Now he has a choice to accept that or to say it was just a dream. But what did he do? He woke up and he did what the Lord said. He was not afraid of his perception, assumption, and decision he was going to make, being challenged and being changed by God. And some of us need to accept that. Because Joseph was a good man. He was a holy dude. I don't think he was blameless or anything, but he was a good guy. And some of us, because we're Christians, we think that everything we perceive, every decision we're going to make, everything that we do, it's not that we're perfect, but when we think about something because we prayed about it, ultimately we think, well, it's the right thing to do. And I'm a Christian, so that means it's bulletproof. But I don't know if you've read the Bible before, but it seems like a lot of Christians have made a lot of mistakes. And maybe you know yourself, or maybe it's easier for you to look at the person next to you. Just don't let the plank hit you as you turn. But a lot of Christians make a lot of mistakes. Because when we stand on truth, it is solid ground, right? Truth is unwaverable. It doesn't matter if it's popular or not. Doesn't matter if it's easy or not. Truth is truth. And we can stand firm on that, no matter what. But when I act and make decisions on my perception, that's not truth. And it's uneven ground. And it's not solid ground. You ever, it's that time of year, you ever go to take a step outside and you're like, well, this should be solid earth beneath me. It wasn't winter, but it was a few weeks ago. I was helping a buddy track a deer. And not that buddy. No UTVs were involved in this one. A different buddy of mine called me to help track a deer. And we're gallivanting all over. You get to the point where you run out of blood and you start grid searching, and then you get to a point where you're not grid searching and you're just searching. And so we're searching, and this is property I don't know. And I am walking through, and it's thick tree, and I'm climbing and moving, and it was a little chilly, but I'm like, oh, the dude smoked a deer. He's using a crossbow. It should be just dead. You know, how do you miss with a crossbow? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm totally joking. But I'm walking through, and then all of a sudden I get to this little creek, and I'm like, but I hear something moving up ahead of me. And I'm like, well, if it's that deer, I don't know what I thought I was going to do, but you know me, in my mind, I'm going to jump on it and do something. I don't know. That's how I think about things. So I'm like, oh, well, I need to get up there. So I'm trying to move quick through the woods, and I get to this little creek, and I'm like, it's shallow. I will just kind of like go over it. And it's very narrow. I mean, seriously, narrow. Well, first step I take, I go up to my knee in mud and then lunge. And I'm like, well, I shouldn't have lunged. And then I'm face first in a pile of mud with my legs stuck behind me. And now I'm trying to crawl, but then there's a whole nother 5 feet of mud. And I'm like, well, I might just sink. And for some reason, tracking a deer, I'm like, well, I probably shouldn't yell. And I'm like, well, if I'm dying, might not matter. But I fall face first. I finally get myself up. Now it was definitely cold. And my light-colored blue jeans are now black. And I was cold from head to toe, mud on my face, everything. And then I finally make my way back to him. And he's like, oh, what happened? And I'm like, well, it was fun. Yeah. But the point being is that I thought and perceived something was solid ground, and I made a decision upon my assumption and my perception. But guess what? The earth doesn't care how you perceive it. Truth is truth. The ground was not solid. It was mud. And I got every bit of it. Tasted a little. No, I'm just kidding. Thankfully, my mouth was closed. But see, Joseph, his perception was challenged, and he was willing to change his mind, and he was willing to do what the Lord asked. It's important to note this, because when carrying out God's will and plan, we need to be willing to be wrong, because we are not God. And just because we are followers of God does not mean we are God. Because in Romans 12, starting in verse 1, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. 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 Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves and measure yourselves by the faith God has given us. To carry this out, to have the renewal of our mind, to change the way that we think, so then we can know God's will, as it says. See, perception is in here. It's what we see, and then we take in, and it is here. It is funny, we could be so certain of the things that we see, but can be completely wrong. But faith calls us to be certain of things unseen, and we'll be right. But in this world, we get caught in what customs, culture, society, education, every possible outlet and worldly secular thing that tells us we are the center of the universe. But we have to be honest in our evaluation of ourselves. and understand that we are wrong. We are wrong. And what we perceive is not always true and not always reality. Married couples in the room, does this conversation come up for you at all? You look at your spouse and the way that they looked at you, or the way the tone came out when they said something. Well, I perceived that as, maybe you don't word it just like that, but you start saying what they were thinking based on what they did. And it turns out that wasn't what they were thinking at all. Men said, amen. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking around. It happens to everybody. But that's the thing is, we perceive what they did. Like, what? You obviously were doing that. No, why is that obvious? I don't know why that's obvious. Well, it's obvious because I had a dream last night that made me mad at you this morning. So now everything that you do, I'm going to assume the negative. Sorry, that was me being logical and truthful. No, but see, there's all sorts of things that happen that convolute and clutter and who we are because we're human. And so we can be wrong. So when we act on our perception of reality and not truth, we are now prioritizing ourselves, our feelings, our emotions, our thoughts, and who we are. But Scripture says we are to sacrifice ourselves. Even if, I want you to know, even if my perception was right, according to God's will and purpose for my life, it does not mean I get to act how I want. Well, I'm justified to treat you any way I want because you did this, said this, acted like this, went off and did this. Well, from a worldly point of view, sure. Just like Joseph. Just like Joseph. He had every right from a worldly point of view to divorce her quietly, break off the engagement. But according to God's will and plan of the greater picture, the things unseen, he needed to marry. Be united with her. And in your marriage, you have every right to be mad and to be upset and to be treat them and say this from a worldly standard. Even to the point where it could be divorce. You have every right to do that. But God's plan for your marriage is something greater. The restoration of what you're going through to be a light to other people to save their marriage. Do you see the comparison? Do you see how Jesus and the situation of his birth was problematic from a world standpoint, but God's plan and will was greater, and he had to reveal that truth, and it challenged the public perception. It challenged the perception of Joseph, just like you. Whatever situation you face, I'm using marriage as an example. But whatever situation you're in that seems broken, that seems, the perception is to be done with it. The perception is to throw it away. The perception is to run away, turn the other way, whatever it is, to give up hope. That's not God's will for you. Submit to his will, submit to his plan, and understand that when we do that, the bigger picture always shines through. God's plan will shine through because we are called to pick up our cross daily. That sacrifice, again, being noted. Sacrificing myself, my ego, my arrogance, my entitlement, to sacrifice those things, pick up my cross, and follow him. Because from a worldly standard, even from a spiritual one, Jesus should have never died. He was perfect. The penalty of sin is death, but he never sinned, so he didn't deserve death. But thank goodness for God's will and plan. Because then he did take my place. He did. And that matters. That matters. Because it's what we're called to. That I will sacrifice myself for someone else. There's no greater love than this. Than to lay down your life for someone else. And I'll tell you what, how many testimonies have been ruined, how much witnessing and discipleship has been ruined when someone acts upon their justified anger, hurt, and responds to somebody. And how they responded from a worldly standard was justified. But from what God calls us to do, we weren't justified in acting that way, saying those things, treating them that way. But I was justified, so I acted upon it. And now that person wants nothing to do with church, wants nothing to do with God, wants nothing to do with you or me. All because we acted on our justified feelings and our perception of what was going on. Instead of holding fast to truth. Ephesians 4, 23. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. That perception starting in the mind and how we look at things and being willing to be wrong. I mean, that's where salvation starts. Repentance, right? Repentance is being able to say, I'm wrong. What I'm doing is wrong. And turning to what is right, turning to what is truth. And when I do that, then I see God's will for my life, which is to be with him in eternity. Scripture talks about that. His will for all to be saved. Doesn't mean that he predestines it. It means that, of course, I want all of you to be saved. He opened the door so that all could be saved. Not just the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. For all of us, he opened that door, and that was what he wanted. But see, to stand firm on truth in John 17:17, make them holy by your truth, teach them your word, which is truth. Make them holy. The other word for that, sanctified. The process of becoming more holy can only be done by truth. Truth, God's word. Too many times as Christians, we can make decisions and live our life, and we get this insulated feeling of everything I do is holy, and it's not true. And that causes more problems than anything else, not just for you, but for the next generation, as well as the people watching you. We have to be willing to be honest with ourselves, an honest evaluation of who we are and what we do. Finding out where we have conformed to the ways of this world and that our thinking is no longer aligning with God's will and plan for our life. How good and awesome a plan may be does not mean that it is holy in what God has for you. The Joseph situation seemed to be pretty great. But when we look at other places in Scripture, Daniel. See, truth is not always popular and might lead you straight into the lion's den. And who put him there? Not him. Others put him there. So standing upon truth might lead you right to that. And it might not be you walk yourself in there, but people put you in there. It's not always going to be popular. The sacrificing of myself is understanding that I'm not going to be liked by everybody. But if the reasons they don't like me is because of the truth and standing firm on God's word, note that, the truth. Your political opinions are not truth. Can you base some of your political values based upon scripture? Absolutely. But just because you post something on Facebook and it's political and it stirred some people up and you think that's holy, you're wrong. You're causing more problems than you are helping. For scripture tells us to be at peace with everybody when we can. And to stir up drama over something that you think is truth and your perception of truth is garbage. But if you're standing firm on God's word and someone does not like you for that, hold fast. Let go of the rest. Too many times what we idolize comes out, and we think because we idolize it, that means God loves it. I've had this conversation with many people before about, I don't know what decision to make. They go and they pray about it. It's funny the things that we choose to pray about that I'm not sure God, I want to be careful, I don't want to be rude. I'm not sure God cares. But then the things that he does care about and are directly written about in his word, we don't bother praying about, thinking about. We make up our own mind based on our own perception, and we live life, and we're living it wrong. I think God cares about you. So, yes, there's decisions you make that you need to pray about. Absolutely. But like my dad told me when I was like, do I go back to North Central or do I not? He said, it's not a sin issue. Whether you go back or come home is not going to change whether you end up in heaven. How you live your life changes that. And so there's some things in life, yes, where does the Lord want me to be? We can pray that. We can seek that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not condemning that. And I'm not saying you shouldn't pray in every situation. I'm just saying make sure you're praying about what your perception is and allowing the Lord to challenge it and change it so that you can be aligned with his will for your life, for it is good, perfect, and pleasing to him. That's what's important, to know his word and stand on truth. Having that resonate from our life and the way that we live it. I don't think there's anything in Scripture that necessarily, well, I shouldn't say that. There's Scripture talks about a lot of things that I don't know or just haven't learned yet. I've done my best to try. There's a lot in there. And it's the living word of God, which means one verse could mean something one day and then it means something else the next day according to the situation. It doesn't mean it'll ever contradict itself. It just means that it's living and active. But when I think about getting to heaven, and we all know the great white throne judgment, right? The sin and the not sin. Did you do right? Did you do wrong? A lot of people don't remember that there's the judgment seat of Christ when we get there. The judgment seat of Christ is, what did you do with what I gave you? How much of the Lord's work did I do with what he gave me? And what I think about, and I'm not sharing this as a theological principle, but what I think about sometimes is, am I going to have to sit there and will I have to see all the people that didn't make it to heaven because of me? And I'm not talking about the people I didn't share the gospel with. I'm talking about the people that I hurt and offended because of my own selfishness. Now, I believe in God's grace covers those things, and I'm not here to share something so condemning with you, but I'm sharing you a harsh reality of how we need to get in line with his will and his word and his way so that we don't run around idolizing ourselves, hurting other people, and we do it under the label of God. There's a lot of things that happen in the mind. It's important that we control our thoughts and take captive of our thoughts, as Scripture says. First Timothy 2, verse 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Not just be saved, but to understand the truth. For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. And I have been chosen as a preacher and apostle to teach the Gentiles this message about faith and truth. I am not exaggerating, just telling the truth. The truth is the gospel. The truth is Jesus Christ came to save. Why clutter it with all our other selfish garbage? And I'm talking about the things that we deem as God's work in my life, my calling. And then we just run around thinking that we could do whatever we want with that. That's not how it works. That's not how it works, and that's not God's will. His will is that we all be saved and understand truth. There are other things in Scripture that he promises us. There's other things that God does and upholds and all these different things. But as we looked at Daniel, it's not always going to be the popular thing. Noah definitely was not the popular thing, made fun of. Criticized. I'll tell you, it worked out for him, though. Look at Jonah. Another lesson in perception. How he perceived Nineveh, the fish slappers. For my VeggieTale fans out there. But how he perceived Nineveh, that no, they can't be saved. Forget that. No, not going to go there. That was his perception. Never call something hopeless or a dead end when God is involved. Don't think, well, maybe I should go do this, but you know what? They're never going to hear me. They're never going to understand. They're never going to listen to me. They'll never come to church. They'll never da-da-da-da-da. It's not about the result. Our job, as Scripture says in 1 Corinthians, some plant, some water. God gives the increase. Our job is not to make it grow. I've learned that having a kid, because I've tried to stop her from growing. Stop growing up. It doesn't work. And she's growing more and more each day. So I need to plant and water in her life appropriately and righteously. And if you hear her running around saying things, she learned it from her mom. You know what? There's still a little bit of a youth pastor in me. And boss man's not here. I was taking out the trash the other day. I was getting the garbage bag out of the garbage can. And Farah, she's a helper. She always wants to help. She wants to get her hands involved. She runs up. Dad, I help you. I help you. Let's take out this crapola. I'm like, what has your mom been teaching you around here? She's like, no, you. And I'm like, what? So let that be a lesson in planting and watering. Oh, planting and watering. We have the Christmas program, and she's part of the part where they're going to do this song, God Gave Me Jesus. Spoiler alert, sorry. They're going to do the song, God Gave Me Jesus. Thankfully, Rachel, our kids director, chose a song and doing this and sent it home with families, because now I've heard that song about 12 million times. But Farrah running around, God gave me Jesus. God gave me Jesus. Now, so I'm thankful for somebody who's planting and watering. Planting the seed, now it's my job to water it. So yeah, even though it's the 7 millionth time. All right, Farrah, we'll do the song again. Because I want her to hold fast to that. Watering and planting, it's not my job to make it grow. And sometimes the growth that you're judging is all just your perception, which is not true and not always right. Would you stand with me all over this room? Dude, you would have thought Pastor Isaac was preaching the way that I wrapped it up before 11. And I ain't saying he preaches short. I'm saying he knows how to get to the point. It takes a Williamson to tell you the long way around. Yeah, on Wednesday, I shared this whole devotional in like 5 minutes. You're like, then why'd it take you 45 today? Sometimes I wonder the same thing. That's why you should come on Wednesdays. No. That's the thing to know is Joseph, it took faith to do what he did. And I like the first thing that the angel said to him, or one of the first things he said to him was, do not be afraid to take her as your wife. The angel knew what he was feeling. It was fear. And he was going to make a decision out of fear. And the fear stemmed from his perception. There's an old quote, and I'm probably going to butcher it. Our perception of something causes us to suffer more in the mind than we would in reality. In our mind, in our lives, our perception causes us to worry, to strain, to struggle. And sometimes if we just let it play out, God's plan, His will, it's amazing. Sometimes it leads us to the lion's den. Sometimes it leads us to prison, like Joseph, Old Testament. Sometimes it leads us to where Joseph and Mary were, watching their kid die. See, they got to bring the Savior into the world, and it seems all rainbows. But do we forget that, yeah, Jesus was God's only son, but it was their son too. God's will doesn't always make sense. And in the scene, it definitely doesn't always make sense. But we trust and we give ourselves to Him because we know the result. We know the victory and we know the freedom that He has for us. His love for us. I would rather... Sorry, I heard a motorcycle go by. Morgan? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Didn't go by fast enough. See, to stand on truth, to operate on that, God's always going to take care of us and lead us. Carrying out His plan, it's going to be more than enough. I would rather have that than have the comfort and safety of my own perception. Because that's all your comfort zone is. Something you made, surrounded yourself with, so your perception doesn't upset you. But it'll all fall down one day. It's time to start living in reality according to His truth.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.